Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, this is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS with Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen. Interesting guests, intriguing topics, and your phone calls at 718-506-1944. The Burke Allen Show is a presentation of Allen Media Strategies, online at allenmediastrategies.com. Now, celebrating his third decade behind the mic, here's Burke Allen.
Thanks for listening, and if you're listening live today, you happen to be catching the program on what is the hottest day of 2011 so far here in our nation's capital. It will top out well above 100 degrees here today, and with the heat indexes over 114 at the Washington Monument and the White House today. That's a hot day and a hot topic on the Burke Allen program today. Dr. Lawrence Richards joins us. He's the author of the book, It Couldn't Just Happen, Knowing the Truth About God's Awesome Creation. And it's an argument that has been with us for decades now. Evolution versus creationism. What should be taught in schools? What shouldn't be taught in schools? What really happened? And what should parents do if they can't decide how to talk to their kids about this very difficult topic? Dr. Lawrence Richards has written over 250 books, including It Couldn't Just Happen, and we're happy to have him on the Burke Allen Show. Hey, Dr. Richards, thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you, Burke. It's good to be with you.
Now, you've written this book that I think attempts to answer a lot of really tough questions. And the first question I would have is, what got you interested in this topic of creationism versus evolutionism?
Oh, I've always been interested in it. And I think particularly when I realized how much the schools are sort of distorting the question. Because, you see, it's not a question of what could happen as much as what might have happened and what couldn't happen. And what you have in the schools today is the teaching that evolution is a proven fact. And therefore, there's a lot of ridicule of Christian young people who hold a creationist point of view. What I tried to do in this book is simply to point out that there are so many unanswered questions about the evolutionary theory that it really ought to, in honesty, be taught as a theory, not as a fact.
Dr. Richards is a retired seminary professor, and along with all this writing, he travels around the country speaking and working with groups including Mentor League and the Freedom Workshops. And, you know, Larry, and may I call you Larry?
Sure, please do.
All right. Well, Larry, at some point, it certainly seems to a guy who has had kids in public schools that somehow along the way, the theory of evolution theory part just sort of fell out, and now it's sort of taught in schools as a fact. How did that happen, and why do you think that's so?
Well, it's called a ruling theory, and in science, when you have a ruling theory, in other words, this is the generally accepted theory, something very fascinating happens. And what happens is that people who are committed to this theory very systematically reject any evidence that might be against it and overemphasize any evidence that's for it. So it's very common in the history of science for ruling theories to take on the aura of fact, even though historically every ruling theory up to evolution has been disproved and discarded and replaced.
And I read in your book, and I thought it was fascinating, and by the way, the book is targeted towards kids, and that must make me a big kid because I enjoyed it very much. You mentioned something that really surprised me, and that was that Charles Darwin, who's often thought of as sort of the father of the evolutionist movement, he himself had some really serious doubts about his theory.
Yes, he did, and rightly so. In fact, one of the predictions he made was that people would find a transition fossil, that is, fossilized remains that would demonstrate a transition from one kind of animal to another kind. And when no transition fossils showed up in his lifetime, he began to question his basic theory. As a matter of fact, it's now been hundreds of years since Darwin, and no transition fossils have ever shown up. So that's a very serious hole in the theory of evolution.
Our guest is Dr. Lawrence Richards. The book is It Couldn't Just Happen from Thomas Nelson Publishing and their Tommy Kids division. Larry, you're a professor. You taught for many, many years, and there are tough questions that kids are going to ask. And for moms and dads who are listening, I'm sure that if you've got little ones, you've been asked along the way, you know, why aren't there dinosaurs in the Bible? And you know, what happened to them? And did we really evolve from apes? As you talk to parents, you know, how do you recommend that they answer those questions?
Well, I think that one of the things that parents need to do is to get a little bit of information themselves. That's one reason I wrote the book. While it is geared for young teenagers, as you said, it's full of fascinating information which parents can have and need to have, because moms and dads, when I went to University of Michigan, I had a biology class and zoology class. And one of the things that they did at the end of that class was to ask a question: did you believe in evolution when you entered this class? And did you believe in evolution now that you have finished this class? Now, I said a resounding no to both, but they really expected their teaching to change the beliefs, the understanding of the students who went to the university. I think that this really happens in schools, and so parents need to be the ones who are going to introduce information that the school simply won't, and that's really the reason I wrote the It Couldn't Just Happen.
And you really come at this not as a quote-unquote religious guy or a doctorate guy. You come at this with real scientific facts and background that you've culled from all your years of studying this.
And, of course, that's the real importance, because I'm not arguing directly for creation here. In fact, one of the fascinating things is that the major attack on evolution today, which is intelligent design, is really an attack that is raised not so much by theists who believe in God or who believe in the Christian God, but by people who have taken a look at microbiology and who have realized that the systems that are operating in living things simply couldn't happen. For example, one of the first books called Darwin's Black Box uses a fascinating illustration. Mm-hmm. He takes the image of a mouse trap, and we've all seen these mouse traps where you set the spring and you put a piece of cheese on the trigger and you set it out for a mouse to come and get caught. And what he points out is that if you were an evolutionist, you might say that the spring evolved. You might say that the platform on which it's anchored evolved. You might say that the trigger evolved, but you can't say that the whole thing evolved. And the problem with evolution is they have no role for the development of complex systems, that every element has to work together to accomplish a purpose. And so they take a look at these microbiological things that are going on in our bodies, the way our eyes function, the way our cells create and transfer food. And they point out that these things are such complex systems that every element has to work together or the whole thing is impossible to operate. And so even these scientists who are not theists really seriously say we have no explanation for the origin of life as we know it.
Our guest is Dr. Lawrence Richards. The book is It Couldn't Just Happen, Knowing the Truth About God's Awesome Creation. And it's filled with proof and interesting factoids. And I guess, you know, the big question I would ask of you is, do you think that evolution should not be taught in public schools? Or are you of the mindset that, sure, it should be taught as a theory, and let's also teach creationism alongside it?
Absolutely. And I think what you ought to do is to teach it as a theory, but you also ought to be honest about the problems that the theory has. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the basic components of evolution is the idea that life evolved from non-living matter in sort of a primal sea where all sorts of chemicals mixed together and suddenly formed together and life just spontaneously happened. And there, the real problems with that, and this, of course, is not what's taught in school, are things like, for example, amino acids have been developed in a chemical sea that people have created that they think is like the original one. But the trouble is they can't develop all the amino acids. They also, in that chemical sea, develop other compounds which destroy the amino acids as soon as they're made. Amino acids can develop only where there is no free oxygen. But porphyrins, which are essential in hemoglobin, in our red blood that carries the oxygen, well, they cannot develop where unless there's free oxygen. So the problem that they have is that this system is self-contradictory. To say that life developed in this kind of a situation is provably impossible. Now, I think that evolution ought to be taught in school as a theory. This is one explanation for how we got here, and there are a lot of things it doesn't answer, like the meaning of life, but it's an explanation. However, when you teach it, you need to be honest, and you need to also teach the things that contradict the theory. Now, I think the same thing about Christianity and creationism. You ought to teach creationism, but you ought to be very honest about questions that people have raised about creationism. And so if you really take an honest approach, that's very handy. Now, the interesting thing is, of course, you'll never get an honest approach in the schools, so you have to have a book like It Couldn't Just Happen for kids to read at home. And I've had a lot of kids who read earlier editions of this book and who have then gone to confront their biology teachers and have had very interesting reactions.
Oh, that's great. The book is It Couldn't Just Happen. Dr. Lawrence Richards is our guest today. And if you'd like to pick the book up, it's available in bookstores everywhere and online retailers like Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Let me ask you some of the tough questions that I have struggled with and I've tried to answer for my six-year-old as well. For example, he goes to Vacation Bible School this week and is asking lots of questions about Adam and Eve and why there were no dinosaurs in the Garden of Eden. So, I'm stumped. Help me out here, Larry.
Aha. Well, here you have the other problem that you're running into, and this is the problem of biblical interpretation. A lot of people think the Bible teaches something it doesn't teach. Now, I will give you one theory on the dinosaurs that may be helpful.
Okay.
If you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll notice that it says at the beginning, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The next phrase is, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." Now, the interesting thing is that way back in history, one of the interpretations of that verse is very fascinating. The Hebrew term for formless and void, or empty and chaotic, is tohu vabohu. And if you look in Isaiah, there's a verse that says God did not create the world tohu. In other words, God's original creation was not a chaotic state. But yet, Genesis 1 introduces the world as being tohu vabohu. The world was without form and void. And then God moves into the 7 days of Genesis chapter 1. Well, a lot of people back in the Jewish age and hundreds of years ago as Christians have noticed that and have thought that something happened to the original creation that caused it to be sort of a war zone. And the thing that they think happened is Satan rebelled against God in heaven. There was, as Scripture says, a war in heaven, and one of the impacts was a devastated earth. Now, if you take the dinosaurs and put them back in this early age of warfare between God and Satan, which caused the ruination of the earth, you have an interesting idea about where dinosaurs fit in Scripture. They may very well have fit in this period before Adam and Eve was created, and yet when Earth existed. I think it's a very interesting theory because, you know, it's kind of hard to picture God creating dinosaurs as they are, as they were. You know, it's a pretty vicious world, the world of dinosaurs.
Sure.
And it's far more characteristic of Satan taking something God did and messing it up, which he's busy trying to do with our lives now.
Folks, sometimes in the religious world, Larry, you know, would be really hard line on this stuff and say, well, listen, you know, there were no dinosaurs, and the Bible is the absolute word, and what it says in the Bible is exactly the way it happened, and we'll hear nothing else. You seem to take a much more sort of open approach. Even when you mentioned your theory on the dinosaurs, you were very careful to mention it was a theory.
I sort of agree that what happened in the what the Bible says happened.
Okay.
The difference is always in how we understand the Bible. And I think that we have to be very careful students of what Scripture says. One of the interesting things is, of course, when Copernicus brought up his theory that the Earth revolves around the Sun rather than the Earth being the center of the universe, people objected on the basis of the Bible. They said, well, the Bible says the sun rises and sets. Therefore, the sun is moving and Earth is stable. What they didn't understand was phenomenological language. In other words, we talk about things as we experience them. We are not making scientific statements. And yet, for many years, the Copernican theory, which was the accurate theory, was rejected on the basis of misinterpretation of the Bible. So one of the things that we want to be very sure about is, do we really understand what the Bible says, or are we reading our prejudices into Scripture just as scientists read their prejudices into science?
You make a great point. Dr. Lawrence Richards is our guest. The book is It Couldn't Just Happen from Thomas Nelson Publishing. When we return, we'll talk to Dr. Lawrence Richards about what parents, moms and dads should do when their kids are confronted with evolution as an absolute fact in schools. Should they go after their teacher? Should they be argumentative? Should they let it slide and deal with it at home? We'll get his take on it right after this on this fascinating subject on the Burke Allen Show. Hang on.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet, video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You can also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com, and experience Dark Force.
Thanks for listening. It's the Burke Allen Show live from our Washington, D.C. studios. Our number is 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. Our guest, Dr. Lawrence Richards, who has written over 250 books. The Guy Must Never Sleep, including the best-selling NIV Teen Study Bible, the Adventure Bible Series. And Dr. Richards currently writes, conducts freedom workshops across the country, works with groups like Mentor Link, and his new book is It Couldn't Just Happen. which helps us to answer those tough questions about evolution and the theory of evolution versus creationism. And Dr. Richards, if your kids go to a public school and their middle school biology teacher says, hey, you know, look, Bobby and Susie, here's how it happened. You know, we evolved from apes, and this is the way it is. What are your thoughts? Should a kid stand his ground? How should a kid handle that? And how should parents advise their kids?
Well, I think the interesting thing is how kids and parents should respond to this, as you're asking, because this really is happening very frequently around the country. And the reason for that is that we live in a culture which is increasingly not a Christian culture. And the basic presuppositions of Christian faith have been and are being rejected by people in our society. And they're replaced by ideas like the idea of evolution, and they're replaced by moral ideas and so on. So it's a very good question. And I think the first thing is we do not want to become the adversaries of the public schools. We do not want to go in with all barrels blasting and upset and angry and hostile. The more we do this, the more marginalized we make ourselves as Christians and the more opposition we create. I think that we can go in and we can be reasonable both with our kids and with the schools. As far as the kids are concerned at home, and this is why one of the very easy tools to use is it couldn't just happen, because the evidence that I try to present is one that is kind of evidence that kids can grasp. There are very complicated scientific reasons to reject evolution. But in this book, I have given hundreds of very simple things that kids can get a hold of and can hold on that gives them the confidence that they are not foolish to believe the Bible or to accept the idea of creation by God. And that's the most important thing, because kids are very susceptible at this age to what others think and how others view them. And if we do let the schools ridicule our faith and ridicule kids for believing, we put a lot of pressure on them. So the first thing we do is we give kids a reason that shows that their faith has foundations in science as well as in Scripture. The second thing we do is we go to the teacher and we express our belief and we ask them, we say, we do not mind you teaching evolution, but we do object to being ridiculed and to trying to put our children down. And I think it's very fair to go to a teacher to express this point of view and to offer them a copy of the book. In fact, what I would do is I'd offer the school library several copies of It Couldn't Just Happen to put in the library as an opposing voice. Schools are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas, and yet the schools tend to close the marketplace down and present only a dominant idea. And so if we can get the other side into the schools, it's a very positive thing. If a teacher doesn't respond to this, I think it's very fair to go to a principal or to go to a school board and to express concern and just ask for the opportunity to have an equal hearing. Another thing that parents can do is to say, Johnny, how about inviting a half a dozen of your friends over to your house, and we'll take a look at this question, and give the kids a copy of the book, point out areas in the book that just demonstrate that the position the teacher is taking is not really one that is settled. And in fact, it's very fair to go back to the school and to begin to raise questions about what the teacher is saying based on information in the book. So some kids will do that. Some kids will feel too embarrassed to sort of confront a teacher in the classroom. But they do have to have this information to help them really feel comfortable in believing.
I think that's great advice. And a couple of terms that are bandied about in the news when you see this happening and you know, cities and school systems all over the country, and I'd love to get some clarification for folks that don't follow the argument closely. For example, I see the term apologetics used a lot when it comes to this. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it basically means a defense of the faith. And apologetics can be developed on many levels. Is the Bible true? What are evidence of the truth of Scripture? There are moral apologetics. Why do we take the position that we take on sexual ethics? And, of course, there are apologetics that make a defense of the Scripture position on the basis of arguing for that creationism and also demonstrating the flaws in creationism, in evolution.
Another term that I see a lot, and you touched on it earlier in our conversation, is intelligent design. Could you give us a quick definition of intelligent design?
Intelligent design is the position taken by a number of scientists today that there are elements in the physical universe which cannot be explained in any way by random events. And, of course, a random event is, basically, is what I've got in the book here. It just happened. And the idea there is that over millions and millions and millions and millions and billions of years, almost anything could happen. This is basically a position that science is forced to take. We don't know how this happened, but over billions of years, it just happened. Now, that's sort of like taking all the parts that you need to make a half a dozen Cadillacs, putting them in a great big mixer, jumbling them around, and taking the position that if they jumble around long enough, then Cadillacs will come out the other end. That is a rather ridiculous position. So the whole idea that random events given enough time will produce what this world is like is a ridiculous position, and intelligent design says, no, that won't work. What really has to happen is there was an intelligence putting this together in a designed, purposeful way. And more and more scientists who hold the intelligent design position are demonstrating on many levels the things that are so complex and yet put together with such a clear purpose that there must have been an intelligence behind them.
It's a fascinating
argument. By the way,
Larry, I don't think that this argument is going to end anytime soon.
No, it's not. And we're going back to this ruling theory idea. People who are totally invested in the idea of evolution, which has been dominant for a couple hundred years, they are resistant in taking the position. For example, one very famous scientist took a look at summed up what he wrote in a book by saying that there are only two possible positions. Either everything came to being by random chance and we can't explain how it happened, or it was created by an intelligent super being, and of course we don't believe that.
Right.
Now that's sort of what you would call a closed mind. We don't consider the possibility of a rational deity putting together the universe. We don't know how it could have happened, and it couldn't have happened, but it did happen because it's here. And that's not much of an argument.
I think you're right. I think the book is required reading, especially if you are a mom or a dad. It's from Tommy Nelson Publishing, Children's Division of Thomas Nelson. The book is It Couldn't Just Happen, the new edition from Dr. Lawrence Richards. And Larry, what's next for you in trying to get your position out there?
Oh, well, I'm glad to have these radio interviews, Burke, because this is something that is troubling to parents and it's troubling to kids. And the neat thing is that it needn't be troubling because, seriously, the evidence is on our side.
It's fantastic, and a great way to wrap things up with Dr. Lawrence Richards. Look for It Couldn't Just Happen, in bookstores everywhere and online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and other online retailers. Dr. Lawrence Richards, our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. Wherever you go, whatever you do today, make it a great day. Thanks for listening.